The Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of another minister's conference. This is the 62nd session of it. Thank you for maintaining this for us over the years. And thank you for bringing us into this new season when you are beginning to speak to us again about spiritual awakening. And because of our crucial role as men and women that you have called into ministry, this falls directly on our purview. They said to Ezra, this matter belongs to you. Our Father, we are praying that the responsibility of bringing the word of God to bring awakening upon our lives, upon our people, upon our congregations, and upon our nation, please, Lord, let it come upon us. We pray, Father, that by the time we'll be leaving this conference, we'll be going again sharpened. We'll be going again empowered. We ourselves being awakened unto that which you have called us to do. We trust, Lord, that your word will come to us like fire, like hammer. That, Lord, hearts of men will begin to melt even as we stand to declare your oracles. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord bless you. I'd like to thank our president of the seminary for asking me again to come and bring an input into this conference this year again. We don't take it for granted. Thank you very much. And for our fathers, the president of the Nigerian Baptist Convention, the Lord bless you, sir. And for our former president and the heads of CAN, thank you for coming again. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. If you look at our booklet, we're going to be looking at the Word of God and spiritual awakening. The Word of God and spiritual awakening. And I will be focusing as much as possible on Ezra. I'll be looking at the man Ezra, as the Lord will permit us. But before I get into focusing on the man Ezra, I'd like to quickly note with you that spiritual awakening at all times, from one generation to another, has always stood on a tripod. Every awakening comes on a tripod. The three legs of the tripod. And unless we appreciate these three legs, our cry for spiritual awakening might be vague. And wherever any aspect of this tripod is ignored, it will be a labor in futility. But because I will not have all the time to be looking at all those I've just mentioned, and then I'll go straight to deal with the one tripod, one of the legs that I've been asked to look at. What are these three tripods for spiritual awakening or for revival? The first principal and major leg of that tripod is God Himself. Only God grants revival. Only God quickens. Only God can bring life. Whenever life is lost, the only person that can restore it is God Himself. So every genuine revival is God created, is God initiated, and is God driven. And so any one of us who is looking for personal awakening, even though there are several things we will talk about, the only place to look for God to revive and awaken and restore and bring back your battle axe that is falling into water is to cry to the Lord. Unless we cry to Him, even if we cry around ourselves, there will be no results. When the young men that were going about with Elisha, when they went to fell a tree, you remember? In 2 Kings chapter 6, the Bible says, as they were falling a tree, the axe head fell. And this man suddenly realized that the axe edge, that is the cutting edge for whatever he was to do. When the axe edge of an axe falls off, you have wood, empty wood. And when you begin to hit wood on wood, does it cut anything? It doesn't. It makes more noise, but little effect. You will develop blister palms, but there will be no result. When the axe head of a man's ministry has fallen off, there is nothing he's doing in the ministry again, except for him to just be a maintenance officer. And woe betide that congregation whose pastor's axe head has fallen. Woe betide those people who sit down Sunday after Sunday under a man's ministry whose axe head has gone. So when we cry for spiritual awakening, we need to recognize, where do we get the source of an awakening? It comes from God. So that young man cried. He didn't cry to his friends because his friends can't help him. He didn't cry to himself because he himself has lost it. But the Bible said he cried. He said, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." He didn't speak good English. When you are desperate for something that you have lost, it's not the time to look for grammar. When you are looking for something that is crucial to your life, and you know that every passing minute it will get more lost, then you don't sit down to construct good expression. All that matters is for your voice to be heard from on high. So he cried, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." And of course, Elisha said, "Where fell it? Where did you lose it? Where did you miss it?" And he said, "Here, sir." As our president began to give us opening charge in the devotional message yesterday, and we're looking at the prodigal son, when the young man came to himself, when he came to his senses,
He knew where he missed it. He said, I will arise. And I will go back to my father. And I will confess. He was going back to him who is able to restore that which was lost. Even as we come with this conference, I rather want to say to you that the awakening of the Nigerian Baptist is going to be largely dependent on your own awakening. Any fresh move of God that will come on our churches has to begin with you, because only fire can beget fire. You can't make fire where there is no fire. If fire is not available, you can't get another fire. For it is only God that can rekindle us again. So the first tripod is God Himself. And we must be ready to show Him where it fell. It is not useful to be comparing notes with people whose axe head also are falling. They are likely to counsel you to cool down and say, we are all in the same boat. Jump out of that boat this morning, because we cannot count the multitude of souls that are hanging on your life. But one thing that is very touching to me is that God is willing. God is willing to bring restoration, to bring revival, to bring an awakening. How did I know God is willing? He said, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and shall do what? And shall pray. They shall turn away from their sins. I, the Lord, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. God is willing. If He is not willing to give us awakening, this meeting will be of no use. If God is not eager to send revival to us, to His church, to His people, to our nations, then why will we gather Him? God is willing. God is very ready to visit as many as we cry to Him. But the second tripod, the second leg of that tripod is prayer. Every time you see God sending revival to any place, God has mobilized people to pray. We cannot expect to have serious awakening if prayers have not become precedent unto whatever we're expecting. So the hours of soul traveling prayers that several men and women have invested is always what God usually responds to whenever He sends a revival. But you see, revival, even though it comes from above, yet God will not give it unless men have cried to Him for it. That's why, as we go on in our studies, in our teaching, we cannot undermine that only those who seek find. Only those who knock, the door is open to them. And only those who ask, the Father gives. So while we go ahead, my prayer and my desire is that the Holy Spirit will set us praying. and that God will make you to become tired of every human effort so that you can get God to intervene. God will not intervene when you are not tired of yourself. Genuine awakening doesn't come to men who are not hungry. Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They are the ones to be filled. Am I right? Jesus said, blessed are those that mourn. They are the ones that shall be comforted. When I read the book of Zechariah, God said, I will pour upon the house of Jacob the spirit of grace and supplication. I will cause them to call upon me. I will cause them to yearn for me. Then I will set up a fountain for the cleansing of the people. I will cut off the names of all the idols in their midst. Results of spiritual awakening is always a direct answer to prayers. Even though it would be nice for the whole world to gather together and be praying, God does not need the whole world to pray for him to move in revival. Elijah was one man of like passion. You remember? He prayed. He prayed earnestly, and God answered. God did for him and brought an unprecedented move that wiped off the gods of Baal almost at once. But when you go and read the scripture, you will notice the Bible said, this man put his face in between his knees. I've been trying to practice, if that was possible, I know that it was a serious matter, to put your head in between your knees. Every part of your body is feeling the pains. And that man was willing to make himself uncomfortable for God to respond to the need of the hour. Now the third leg, when God has decided to send revival, and when God is ready to respond to the prayers of his people, the third indispensable leg of that tripod is the word of God. God's word is God's comprehensive equipment for changing men. God's word is God's hammer of breaking the rocks. God's word is the fire that burns and melts and turns the heart of men around. God's word is God's established means of bringing men back to himself. Brother Paul said, I have complete confidence in the gospel, for it is the power of God for changing men. Only the word of God changes men. Human explanation may swell their head, but the only sword that pierces the heart of man is the word of God. And because any move that is not rooted in the principle of God's word and sustained by concerted, consistent, cumulative preaching and teaching of the undiluted word of God will soon disappear like a mist. I appreciate a lot of things that are happening in our days. I appreciate the move of God that started when men prayed. But as soon as the preaching and the teaching of the word of God began to fade away, sometimes you don't preach the word of God again because there are already miracles. So you will have a whole service of 4 hours. The word of God has not been taught. But you have listened to stories. You have listened to miracles. And then at the end you say, brethren, God is here. Hallelujah. If you need another miracle, just come here. You are about to kill the revival. You are about to make it to fade away. The causative for every move of God is the word of God. The seed for the kingdom of God to be established anywhere in any heart is the word of God. So when the word of God begins to become scarce and it is not taught deliberately, even if there's emotion, even if there's activity, even if people are zealous, there is no future for it. Everything will disappear. But what bothers me is that if it just disappears, I will have said, all right. It normally leaves us with false doctrine. Because there is no vacuum in nature. Did you hear me? When the truth is not preached, error will spread. When the word of God is not consistently exposed and taught with proper understanding, people will conjure ideas. And so you have seen results all over our land of what I call failed revivals. It started as a revival, but because God's word was not present, was not adequately taught, it became what it became. So you see so many prayer houses everywhere. You see people that are going about with bottles of water. You see people that are selling oil. Have you seen all of them? What is the reason for that? That is what I call failed revivals. It was something that God wanted to do. But when that third leg of the tripod was omitted, the thing became wobbling. Wobbling. And it will soon tumble. The awakening we are looking for now, if it's going to be enduring and lasting, if it's not going to be empty noise, then the matter of the word of God cannot be taken lightly or taken for granted. Whenever you have read the stories of the move of God anywhere, you will see that this principal instrument was actively engaged. And so when our president said, our theme for this year is crying for spiritual revival, and wanted me to look at the word of God and spiritual awakening, I decided to look at it from the perspective of preachers, from the perspective of ministers, ministers of God's word. We could have looked at it from the perspective of our hearers, our church members, and all of that. But because they are not here, you are the one here. And you are the one that God has made custodians of the truth, at least at a time like this. Then the Lord must help us that we will do the right thing in the name of Jesus Christ. The whole of the Acts of Apostles, what they kept reporting, I remember that the apostles, after a time that God had moved in their midst and so many things have happened and thousands have come, something began to happen to them. Do you remember? Administration. And administration is very important because because that is just very critical. But because you are Bible students, I will presume that you will read the Bible. Praise the Lord. But I'd like you to note that as we look at Ezra, if you peruse it from chapter 1 before we come to chapter 7, you will have seen that several times when God wants to move, when God wants to bring restoration, it comes as waves upon waves. Awakenings, they come waves upon waves. We cannot say that we don't have a measure of revival. We have a measure. And those of us that were alive in the early 70s and were Baptists, you know that there's a measure of revival. Abi, there is. There's a wave that has come upon us. So when you take Ezra itself, the entire book, was a report of the response of God unto the cry of those who are saying, Lord, when will our captivity end? When will our captivity end? And in the team of people that were praying and looking to God for restoration, you see Ezekiel, you read about Daniel. You remember all those ones? They were all laboring for the same revival. You hear about people like Haggai, people like Zechariah, even men like Habakkuk. All of those brothers, they were all concerned about awakening. They were looking for restoration. So each one of them prayed. And I think God gave a measure of visitation to them that they could say, thank you, Father, our prayers have been answered. So I want us to note that even as we begin to cry to God for spiritual awakening, let us note that God is going to answer our prayer. But the awakening that God releases to us must, if it works well, must be the base for another awakening. What I'm saying is that when God visits us now, something will move. And then after we have left the stage, God will move again. But we must lay foundation for the next visitation of God upon His church. So that's what I saw. I saw different people that God has used. I saw in their different categories until we come to that chapter 7, which was going to introduce to us the ministry and the life of Ezra. So permit me to let us now go there. Can we go there now? We read Ezra chapter 7. If I have a reason to look backward, don't mind me. It's normal when you are dealing with scriptures. Now, after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Zeriah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merah, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Uzi, the son of Buki, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. But we want to talk about a great awakening. What is the meaning of this? I want to tell you. First and foremost, there is no man that can enter into God's purpose, God's work, that God will not trace your origin. God does not use people that are hanging in the air. The genealogy of every man that God uses must be traceable. And I will be asking you a question before we leave. What is your genealogy? If you want to confirm, when they were going to talk about Jesus, even our Lord Jesus, in Matthew chapter 1, what did they do? They traced his genealogy. And so the first thing I saw was that they were needing to trace where Esther was coming from. And it was very touching. Because as they were tracing him, they started and started, the son of Buki, the son of that, the son of that, the son of that, until they could trace him to Aaron, the high priest. You know why? According to God's ordinance, you can never be a priest. You can never touch the work of God in Israel if you are not a Levite. Are we together? But not only, when you want to handle the highest object of ministry, they've got to trace you to Aaron. Earlier on, somewhere in chapter 2 of Ezra, and repeated somewhere in the book of Nehemiah chapter 7, several people came out, they want to serve God. They want to be involved because now this is a new move. God is doing something. Let's go back. Captivity is gone. Let's have priests. Let's have singers. Let's have this. Let's have that. Then the Tishata, the governor, said, can you please bring the book of genealogy? It's a pity that I will have people singing in the choir here whose genealogy cannot be traced. We will have men on the pulpit and we can't trace the genealogy of their lives. Maybe that's where the first problem started. So when they were tracing, there was this man. They called him Barzillai. And they couldn't trace his genealogy. They check. They said his genealogy was lost. So they decided and said, put him away from the ministry as a man who was polluted until we'll be able to establish how he descended. We can't include him. If I were to ask you, you cannot participate in a spiritual awakening if your own foundation, your own genealogy is untraceable. So if I were to ask my simple question now, if it were physical, if it was just a physical thing, would have been asking, who born you? Huh? Talk to me. Say, who born you? Who is your father? When were you born? Which section of the house were you born? You know, those questions are very important when they want to trace who can become something. Eh? Can you imagine that now they're going to establish or bring a king? Eh? Over some of our traditional stools that have become vacant. You know what they sat down first to set? They want to trace. Did he come from our lineage? Why is Ibiani a strange name? Who is his mother? But when we come to spiritual work, we must be asking, when were you born again? Some of you will say, no, we are pastors here. Bragbile, don't do that to us. No, I'm not the one. I'm not the one. This is the ordinance that we have to follow. But I came to seminary. But I did theology. I did that. That's not the question. Are you born from above? Some say, well, you know, I don't know, but I know that I've always been born. If you go for an interview and they said, date of birth, and you said, since I've been born. Will you pass? Very critical. And do you know that this question is always recurrent? You go to 2 Timothy, he said, the Lord knows those that are his. You remember, there was a parable of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you remember? And everybody was invited and everybody was brought in. And then I thought that since everybody is brought in and the king said everybody should fill the place, he will not come to check. Then he came down. And as he was inspecting, then he looked at one man, said, how did you come in here without the wedding garment? And the Bible said the man was what? Speechless. And they didn't say, since you have already entered, just continue. Is that what they said? What they said? They said, get him out here. Let it not be that you cannot trace your genealogy while we are looking for spiritual awakening. Let it not be that we simply assumed that you have certificate this, you have degree that, you have master in this, and we did not check. Were you born from above? That's the first thing that struck me as they were looking at Ezra. A man of correct genealogy. Some will say, hey, bro, no, I'm born. I'm a Christian. Let me show you what the word of God said. In John chapter 8, this kind of question arose. It's always arising everywhere. In John 8, Jesus was speaking to the people and he said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you remember that? Verse 32. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And then he said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever. But which one abides in the house? The son. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no space in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Did you hear them? They say, and they answered him and said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. For now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This Abraham did not do. You do the deeds of your father. Then they were still wondering, what is he talking about? He said, then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Then Jesus said to him, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Before we finish that discussion, he landed and said, you are of your father, the devil. Are you excited with that kind of discussion? He landed and said, you are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, what does he do? He speaks of his own mother tongue. He speaks of own language. For he is a liar, and he is the father of it. Brother, this question of genealogy will always come up. If you escape it now, when you are getting to the gate, they will still ask. That time there will be no chance. It will be too late. The brother that led us with the prayer of consecration yesterday, he repeatedly said, it is possible to preach. It is possible to even call people to the altar. It is possible to even sing. It is possible. But how terrible it will be that on that day they said, but we never knew you. Your name is not here. When the disciples returned, rejoiced and said, demons were falling for us. Do you remember Jesus told them something? He said, don't rejoice about that. What should they rejoice about? That their name is written in that book. My brother, my sister, awakening begins when you are able to trace your roots. That man could only come to his senses when he said, what am I doing here? Eating with pigs. Even in my father's house, Even servants, they have enough to eat and to spare. What am I doing here? Perishing here with hunger. I will go back. I will go to my father. Was that what he did? Yes, sir. Permit me to ask. And I ask it very honestly. Is your genealogy correct? When did you get delivered from the power of sin? When did you break your connection with Satan? When did God step into your life to such a point you can say, in the time past, I was in darkness. But now, when can we put punctuation mark in your story? We are only talking now and say somebody needs awakening. Somebody needs awakening. Somebody who has been fornicating since he was secondary school. He married. He did not stop. He became a pastor. He has not stopped. Is it awakening he needs? Shouldn't we go back to trace? Who born you? Did you ever have this life? We can't be saying that something is lost that you have never had. What you never have, you can never lose. So the first issue that Esther confronts me with, that trace my life. Trace me. Anywhere you want to trace me, you get me to the very correct source. I have a reason. I have a basis for doing what I'm doing. I'm a child of God. If the trouble is as it was being defined in Scripture, 1 John said, we know that Jesus Christ was manifested to take away our sin. Abi? And in him, there is no sin. So if anyone says, I am in Christ, and he's committing sin, what did the Bible say about him? Say he's a liar. He has not seen him. He does not know him. We know it is the devil that had been sinning from the beginning. So whosoever is committing sin is of the devil. Whosoever is born of God, the Bible says he doesn't continue to sin. It's not correct. Eh? If you are unable to stop living in sin, even though you have been ordained, let's get to the root of the matter. If you have not got victory that the Bible says is for the children of God, it says whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. If that has not happened, then you will be a big challenge. You'll be telling people to become what you are not. I want to beg that as I begin to look at this man, because I'm going now to the next thing. Let's now go back to our Ezra. We're in chapter 7. Where did we stop reading? Verse 5. Now let's go to verse 6. Verse 6 started with a very curious word. What is that curious word for me? This. All of you, look at it. This. This Ezra. You know, I don't know. But it always touches me when I see the way Bible is organized. I thought they would just say an Ezra. I wonder why they now decided to put the word this. Do you know that when you use the word this, what are you ready to do? Eh? You will point a finger. Am I right? This particular Ezra. This specific Ezra. This, not these. This Ezra. What does that say to me? Very quickly. People that God can use, they are known. They are recognized. And they are distinguished. Even if we are 1,000 here, when God will talk about the man he wants to use, how does he point at him? This! Oh my God. Are you with me, brothers? All of you, are you here? Because we are studying the Bible now. Can I remind you that this word, this Ezra, to me, it's not a coincidence. And someone say, Ragbile, why do you make too much about simple word like that? No, that word is not simple as far as I'm concerned. When God wants to introduce Jesus at the baptism of John, did you see that word? What is it? This is my beloved son. In whom I am well pleased. I'm asking you, can God point his finger at you and say, this is my servant? This is my servant. We may be 100, we'll be 1,000, we'll be 2,000. Can God point his finger and say, this is my servant? This, we may be in pastor's forum, but God deals with us as individuals. So I'm asking you now, can God, because we have to reduce the whole of issues to issues, this Ezra, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. When they went to the Mount of Transfiguration, do you remember? Elijah came, Moses came, and then the brothers, they said, it's good for us to stay here. You know, a voice came from heaven. What did that voice say? This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Are you going to be distinguished by God? Is God going to identify with you by pointing his finger at you for this assignment? Can heaven look down and say, this pastor, this reverend, this reverend's wife is my servant. Everyone else may call you pastor as God called you. Look at how many of us are here. And God is looking for one. Can his finger single you out? When I will be asking you to pray, because for me, crying for spiritual awakening must begin with us. He must start with me. Sometimes I say, God, why are you saying you are looking for people, and I'm here, and you are not seeing me? What are you looking for that you cannot see in me, and you are looking for somewhere else? And one day as I cried and cried like that, God said, listen, if I see what I saw in my son Jesus, even if I see a little of it in you, I will turn attention to you. Because we are sitting as ministers and we are asking God to walk deliberately with us, we cannot take this lightly. This Ezra, not another, not a duplicate, not another one. It is this Ezra that we have traced his life, and we have seen the way he is going. This is the man that will spearhead the move of God that's about to begin. Can I beg to pray with you? Maybe all that we can pray about for this afternoon is to say, oh God, spiritual awakening is needed in our churches. Spiritual awakening is needed in Nigeria. Spiritual awakening is needed in our denominations. Spiritual awakening is needed in our theological schools. We need God to come down. But God, say yes, but I'm looking for agents of transformation. Those that I can put my finger on and say, this, go and hear. Do you know I understood quietly, and I wish I can share that with you as we pray together, that when God begins to identify you as a man he can use, he undertakes your publicity. He is the one that will be telling people, go and listen to him. This is the man you need to hear. Go and hear him. Go and hear him. You don't need anything else. Your photograph is too plenty everywhere. I don't know what you are doing with it. When everyone has not pointed at you, then you are asking the cameraman to be looking at you. For what? For what? Where have you reached with all of that? Wouldn't you let us turn to God and say, Father, this finger that you have been looking to point at people, here am I. Why will you omit me in the midst of everybody? What is it that you don't want to see that I'm carrying about? What is the secret that is not making me available for this great assignment? I'm very urgent. Very urgent. You can see the way Nigeria is going down the drain. And all that God is looking for, men who will stand and bring the undiluted truth. And God will say, this is my beloved son. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of the Lord, the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. You know, I'm still coming with one more word before I go. Do you want to take note of that word? Eh? One small word. It's not a big word. Let me read it again. This Ezra went off from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. I want to ask, is the God not the God of Israel? Eh? Answer me now. I thought they would have said, according to the hand of the God of Israel. But they didn't say like that. According to the hand of his God. Which means, when God finds a man that he can put his finger on, God also becomes his. He becomes his personal God. It becomes his. And everybody knows it. I was surprised that they just said, the Lord is God. I was wondering, how did they quickly conclude that the God of heaven, the God of all heaven and earth, the God that is the God of the whole children of Israel, there are millions. And they are now saying, the Lord is God. I thought that that should concern you as a man who wants to serve God. That God will become personal with you. That God will identify with you. And God will allow people to know that He, God, has become your God. That your parishioners, those that hear you preach regularly, they will not have struggle in their mind. They said, let him call upon the Lord his God. My problem will be solved. The Lord will help us. Now, as a hook for my next slot, because I won't go beyond here. What is the hook for the next slot? Verse 10. Now look at verse 10. Also introduce it with another curious small preposition. What is that? For. Eh? Did you see that in your Bible? For. Those of you that have studied English, what is another word we could use for the word for? Because. Because. Nothing happens for nothing. There's a because. If you see any man that God is identifying with, God is pointing his finger to, God is deciding to use for something serious, there is a reason behind them. Because Ezra had, take note of the word had. What part of tense is that in English? That's past perfect. What had been done. Some of you, I can see you. There is nothing behind you. But you want to be used. Heaven did not see what you have done. In the secret,
For Ezra had, when there was no limelight, are you hearing me? When there was nothing, when everybody was misbehaving, Ezra had prepared himself. And I was wondering, where did he prepare himself? In obscurity. It's not on the pulpit. Men of God are not made on the pulpit. He had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. One man in the midst of millions that have abandoned the word of God and living recklessly, he had prepared himself. When nobody was there, when nobody was supervising him, it was not supervised holiness that this man had. Some of you are holy because you are under supervision. If they are not supervising you regularly, my God, only God knows what you will do. When you are traveled to somewhere where nobody knows you, hey! When had Ezra prepared himself when no man was seen? When nobody even thought there would be any opportunity, he prepared himself. We stop at that this morning so that we can maintain our timetable. Tomorrow, where are we going to start? We're starting from verse 10. Would you like to stand up as we pray together? Let's call on God. Let's personally, particularly because necessity has come upon us to fill up a pulpit, but there's nothing behind us. Secret preparation, unsupervised consecration, a life that walked with God even when there's no hope of a platform. If they were to bring out your secret life, would there be anything that God could count upon and say, yes, this Ezra. I want you to call on God for yourself. I would like to take a little song just to express my own cry to God. Savior, Savior, yeah. I'm a humble cry. Why on others thou art calling? Do not pass me by, Savior, Savior. Savior, hear my humble cry.
My humble cry,
why on others
thou art calling, do not pass me by.
My Savior,
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 Savior, Savior,
hear my humble cry. While on earth was thou at calling,
don't look away from my
heart. Do not pass me
by.
Let him hear your cry. Let him hear that somebody in this meeting is saying, Lord, do something to me. Do something to my life. Do something to my secret place. Do something. Do something. Is anything wrong with my foundation somewhere? Lord, tonight, this morning or this afternoon, do something new with me. Do something. Do something. Do something with me, oh God. Do something with me this day. Do something with me this hour. If you cannot say this Biliakani, this Emmanuel, if you cannot point your finger at my life, where am I going? Who will listen to me again? How will my life be like this? I occupy the pulpit and nothing is happening. Do something with my life this morning. Do something with my life this morning. As a preacher of the word of God, do something to me. As a man who must carry the message to affect people to bring a great awakening, Lord, do something to my life. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, please do your work in this place now. Let this revival begin here. Pierce every issue. Everything that has hindered you from working with us, melt it this morning. Just melt it. Just take it away. That Jesus may appear afresh in our hearts. That Jesus may do something new in our heart. Lord, please do something now. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Do you know why I need to do something now quickly? Because you are ministers. Hardly will anybody give you a space to make your life right with God. In your local church, you can't do it. Even if you bring a revivalist, he preaches, your heart is affected. You can't come to the altar. Nobody will allow you. Wives of pastors, you continue to feel that you'll be a disgrace to your husband if you went to the altar crying. They say, even pastor's wife is repenting. So that made you not to respond to God. And even though you thought you would respond, officiating will not let you. Because you have to officiate. But in this meeting, for once, God has gathered us. And he's speaking to me and to you as souls, as men and women that need help.
I want to leave that room. And I will leave it very quickly. Because I don't know when we get back. Sometimes you go back to church and they say, how was the pastor's conference? They want you to give report of everything. But you cannot say, in that conference, God found me out. They say, from where? You can't say it. This is where you can say it. This is where you can make it right. This is where if you want to repent, you can repent. If you want to roll on the ground, you can roll. We will not be embarrassed. We'll just simply say, God has come to change our pulpits because it's changing the pulpiteer. This morning, this afternoon, we take that song two more times. If you are the one who is saying, don't pass me by. You know what has gone wrong over the years. And you know my struggle. I thought years we bypassed it, but it has continued. I need an awakening today. I can't wait till tomorrow. I can't go into business meeting with it. Do something new with my life. We take that song just two times. And if you are the one, I don't think we have enough space at the altar. That's the right thing I would have wanted you to do. But if you can, just come to that altar and say, God, this is where I was trained. This is where they commissioned me for ministry. It is not a shame for me to be recommissioned here again. If the Spirit of God is saying, you, step out, let me sort things out with you. Let God have his way this morning. Please do it. We do that song two times, and I'll be requesting you to just raise your right hand and say, I'm the one, Lord. I'm the one, Lord. And as the Spirit of God moves you, step out and come towards him. I know people are outside and they may not be able to come in, but you should still take one step out. Take a step out of where you have been sitting. Say, Lord, I'm taking a step. Yesterday that young man cried, I will arise. Then he arose. That's how to do it. I will. It's not equal to rising. Until you arise, you have not arisen. The promise of I will rise, I will change is not enough. Bring it before the Lord. We take the song just two times. And all those that are saying, yes, today, Lord, you have met me again. You have encountered my life. I can't go like this. I can't return to my pulpit like this. You must help me. While you lift up your right hand. And you can find your way forward. Just come straight. We will be praying.
Savior,
my Savior,
here. Yeah.
My home, God bless you. Cry. We just do it one time.
While on the stars,
while you are helping others, while you are changing others. Why their ministries
do
have been turned? Why they are walking?
Me back.
Oh, my Savior,
Savior.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Savior.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, my brothers. Thank you, my sisters. Thank you. Thank you.
Christ.
Thank you. Just find a space to stand before God.
Just come.
With your hand lifted to heaven.
Do
hallelujah.
Not
God bless
me.
You. God bless you. My Savior.
Savior.
God bless you. They are still coming.
Savior.
Just do quick because I don't have the time now.
My humble.
Are you coming from that side? My Savior, yeah.
My own is not
calling.
Do not pass me by.
And if you lifted up your right hand to heaven, because you could not even come down, but you are saying, God, I stretch this hand to you. Take this hand, O God. Change my story. 2022 Ministers Conference must change my story. God bless you. Above your head. Above your head. Let me call our Father in the Lord. Baba Shupo, please come and help us to pray. Let God look down upon us today and let His mercy prevail. Let something new begin. Let it start with us. Tell God, while on others Thou art God.
Do not pass me.
Eternal Father, we were not people, but by your kindness and your mercy, you made us your people. But the question that came to us today is that, is every one of us your people? Do you know us? Do you recognize us? Are we what we are calling ourselves before you? Lord, who is sufficient for all these things? Therefore, Lord God Almighty, we come humbly before you. The Lord, you will renew our foundation in you in the name of Jesus. If we are not known by you, life is futile. All our activities are useless, unprofitable. Everlasting Father, I pray that you will put a mark of possession on each and every one of us now in the name of Jesus. We don't want to be owned by any other. On Christ, the solid rock, we want to continue to stand. Lord God Almighty, if you reject us, our lives are meaningless. Oh, our titles are useless. Lord God Almighty, please, put a mark of possession on us afresh in the name of Jesus. When Moses missed it and the tablet got broken in his hand, you showed him mercy. You gave him another one. You did not remove the mercy from him. Lord God Almighty, even if we have thrown away your mark of possession from our lives, we have rediscovered ourselves today. We pray in your mercy, O God, you will move to us and reanoint us in the name of Jesus. Possess us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let every usurper that has been usurping our lives, taking absolute control possession, let them lose out today by fire in Jesus' name. Amen. Father God, I pray that daily we will walk in your word. We will walk in your law. We will not only teach your word, we will do your word in the name of Jesus. What the strength of man cannot do, let the Holy Spirit take over, possess us, dominate us, rule us, work in us, in the name of Jesus. Father, strengthen us in all the areas of weaknesses. Because the kingdom of God is near. Father, redeem us from the spirit of this age. Redeem us, deliver us from the spirit of this age. Running after wealth, running after titles, running after positions, not running after the Holy Spirit more and more. Lord, we have failed in making your priority our priority. Father, please, today, turn us to you absolutely in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the messenger of your word. As you show us mercy, show him mercy daily. So that your mandate to transform this world through him and the rest of us will not be withdrawn from us in the name of Jesus. Thank you because you will move us forward in this program. It will not just be an event. It will not be a ritual. It will be transformational. It will be impactful. It will make indelible mark in our lives in the name of Jesus. Receive these people and re-anoint them again. Let them live from here justified by your spirit. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for answer prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The president of the Nigerian Baptist Convention, Reverend Dr. Israel Adelani Akanji, and the wife,